Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from thedraftnetwork.com, which launches in 5 days. Right, Trev?
Lucky number five, even though it's not a thing.
Any number that we say on this podcast automatically becomes lucky. Tomorrow it'll be lucky number four, then lucky number three, and then it'll be here before you know it. What are you most looking forward to about the launch of the Draft Network? Put you on the spot here. Put you on the spot here with a tough question.
Honestly,
could you even probably pick one thing?
Probably the database.
Yeah.
Just because I Google that stuff so much. I Google like who's available, who's eligible, what positions they first play, like height and weight, date of birth, all that stuff. I Google that stuff constantly. Mm. And I'm always going to have to go to different websites to find different little pieces of information, and now it's going to be all right there.
Yeah. For me, it's like this, having this goal of like what an NFL draft site should look like for like so long, and kind of building on it. And now like, it's going to happen on Monday. Like it's going to happen. Like all these, we've been searching all these sites and looking for good content everywhere, especially this time of year. There's like, you can't find anything on anybody this time of year. People want to know who to watch. And you know, everybody's, you know, there's a lot of sites throwing out watch lists, but they don't have credibility. And then there's sites with credibility that aren't putting out watch lists. And so it's like, what can we get this thing working? You know, like, and it just feels like that plan's come together. So I'm just super excited about it. We're loading prospect profiles into the database. Actually, now I just stopped doing them to record this podcast, and man, we're gonna have a lot.
Well, sorry to interrupt, John.
Yeah, well, you were more important. I prioritized you. Don't worry.
Wow. Okay, now I feel bad.
Yeah. See, you gotta calm down over there. But the site looks beautiful. You've done a wonderful
calm
job.
Calm is not to calm hit you is with, not something I do.
That's very true. Not to hit you with back to back compliments, but
the site. No, it's wonderful. Fine. You know, the ego is already through the roof, so this podcast is gonna go extremely well.
Because of you.
You know?
What are we talking about?
We're talking about safeties.
Yeah. We talked about corners last couple of days, gave our corners that we'd watched and what we thought of them. And today we're talking about safeties. We bypass safety a little bit with the way we laid out this format because we're not spending a lot of time on the safety class.
I just think we can't count.
That's true too, because we started this and now we're going to run out of weeks until the regular season starts. So we figured smash up DBs all in 1 week. We'll smash up O-line all into 1 week. We're talking quarterbacks next week, by the way. The week that TDN launches is quarterback week on the Locked On NFL Wow. Draft podcast. That actually synced up quite nicely and was completely unintentional. Not going to lie. But today we decided we're going to talk some safeties. We're going to watch three of these guys that are getting the most buzz. And there really isn't a ton of safeties getting buzz right now. Like, that was the other part that made this hard. I thought, can we go? Because we talked about 12 linebackers, talked about 12 interior defensive linemen. We talked about 12 edge defenders. That's like been our breakdown. Three, and then we talk about six in like a snapshot type of style on Wednesdays. And then we give our top fives. I didn't feel like we could even get there with safeties and keep my sanity. Like, I have to watch them for the SEC, and that's like, you know, usually one of the better conferences and everything. Like, dude, I'm telling you, man, the first like three or four guys I watched for the SEC, I was like, they're not getting drafted. Like, it's just not happening. And they were the biggest name guys. Then I went to some smaller name guys, and I did find some guys that I liked.
Wait, who were the other guys in the SEC you watched?
Okay, so the SEC safeties I watched that aren't getting drafted or are getting drafted late. Jordan Richards went in the second round. I always try and remember to remind myself of that. The Patriots, Bill Belichick, took Jordan Richards in the second round. He's one of the worst safeties I ever watched. But based on what I've seen, Zedrick Woods, safety from Ole Miss.
Okay.
Mark McLaurin from Mississippi State. Okay. Both those guys, no bueno at all. Here's the thing.
That's Spanish for not good.
That is. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, your boy from Florida. He is undraftable if he plays like he did last year. But I would like to think that there is a path for someone with his athleticism and his man coverage skills to succeed. Yes, he can't play in the NFL if he can and won't tackle. Like, it just, you can't be unphysical to the point that he is. Like, he just doesn't want to touch people on the football field in tackling anyway. Like, he is decently physical in man coverage. But I think that if he has another year like he had this year, it's just too hard to say he can succeed in the NFL. But I think he could easily go from a guy with like an undrafted label if he bounces back and Florida's got new coaching and, you know, there's kind of a new energy there, maybe he kind of finds himself. And he played better toward the end of the year, I think. It wasn't great still, but he's got traits. He's got traits. And so I'm not ready to give up on him just yet, but his tape was really rough at some points. And I know you're aware
of it. I told you this.
You did.
I told you this before you watched him.
For all our listeners who leave iTunes reviews saying that you always cape for Florida players, I will vouch for you here and say you told me.
I told you. He asked me what I thought. He thought what I thought of Chauncey Gardner before he watched him, and I even let out over text. I let out a sigh because I want Chauncey Gardner to be good because. Well, obviously,
he has traits.
He plays for UF. But his freshman year, he showed a lot of athleticism, but a lot of his impact plays were right place, right time, and he benefited big time from that kind of stuff. And then last year, in the year that he was supposed to take a step up, really be a leader, be a full time guy, be one of the big contributors on the defense. Oh my God, did he crumble? I mean, it's not that he couldn't tackle. It's that he couldn't tackle and also didn't want to tackle.
And when just miss tackles, dude. He got like
– No, the awful.
He didn't kicked out of him.
If he did not lay the shoulder to you and like think that it was going to be a highlight reel like tackle, he wouldn't even try it. And even sometimes he did, like you just said. I mean, John Kelly made him his
– Oh my gosh. It was like he was a speed bump. I mean, it was crazy. But then,
there you go. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Then I watched J.R. Reed from Georgia, who's getting absolutely no buzz. I actually almost didn't watch him because I was
okay, like, I'm glad you didn't say the name that I'm going to talk about tomorrow.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to say anybody. But I watched J.R. Reed and I was very impressed, actually. Like him more than some of the guys we'll talk about today. And Mike Edwards from Kentucky, I watched as well. And again, a guy that's probably going to be a day three guy, but. I think that, you know, he's kind of a smaller safety. He's listed bigger than he is, but some man coverage ability. So anyway, there's some guys out there, but I haven't seen anybody I'd lock into like a top 50 type of role. That's my personal opinion on what I've seen. And I've watched 9 safeties so far in this class. And I haven't seen anybody that catches my eye to that degree. Some guys I haven't watched yet. Haven't watched Lucas Dennis. I know some people like him. Haven't watched Marvell Tell from USC. So there's some guys I haven't seen, but based on what I've seen so far. So who do we watch for this week? We watched Jaquan Johnson. What did you think of Jaquan Johnson from Miami?
I actually really like Jaquan Johnson. Mm-hmm. I think that he's a little bit undersized, but he's kind of like a fearless safety. I think he's a guy who could do it all. They rotate their safeties a little bit at Miami, him and Sheldrick Redwine, where one of them's kind of free, one of them's up near the linebacker level. Johnson plays more in the back, so I guess you would consider him more of, I guess, the full-time free safety. But they do switch back and forth. I think he has an eagerness to come up and make plays to the line of scrimmage. I think for his size, he does a pretty decent job trying to wrap up on guys, trying to make impact hits. Forcing fumbles on balls when he sees that they're not secured correctly. And he did that quite a few times last year. I think he's got good range. I think he's pretty athletic. He's got good speed. But the thing that impressed me the most about Jaquan Johnson is his eyes and the fact that he is always, I think, looking to where the quarterback is and trying to position himself correctly in that sense. Now, when you play safety is one of my favorite positions. Even though it's probably one of the tougher ones to evaluate, not just only because
it is
because you kind of almost have to have all 22 to really evaluate a safety,
and you have to be okay with not ripping on them for every play they don't make. Like you could go a whole game in college football, especially like a safety might do like other than run fills, he might be run fill. He might never get tested in coverage, so you're going to be tempted to like write something down about him, but you just got to be patient. You got to watch a lot of games sometimes.
When I watched Jaquan Johnson, he's playing on the back end. And so anytime you play on the back end, and this is something that really impressed me and what sold me, made me fall in love with Malik Hooker as a prospect, your instincts have to be really good. You have to have a sixth sense for what is going on around you, what might be in your zone, what might not be, what might be coming into it, those kinds of things. You have to have a sense for what's going on around you without necessarily looking at it because that's what I really like about Johnson, because there are a couple plays he made last year almost at least one or two of them every game where he is backpedaling or he is kind of in his area that he needs to be, but he is watching the quarterback. And I saw a couple of times in his film where there would necessarily be an assignment that was near him, and he knew it. You could see him almost kind of like have the feelers out knowing that one was there, but he's watching the quarterback and he's watching the quarterback's eyes so well that he sees the ball going somewhere else. He breaks on it. A couple times he turned him into turnovers and interceptions. Other times, big hits right when the ball got there. That, to me, is such a key trait when we talk about a good safety. And that's what made me – I really liked the potential that I saw from him in 2017.
To me, the big concern was I feel like I'm always the one bringing up the concerns. But, like, I mean, I agree with you. Like, he's physical and aggressive in run defense. Like, he hits people. He tackles. He's actually a good tackler. Like, he's not out of control. He's a good tackler. I like a lot of things about him. He's not the biggest safety, but he plays big. The one thing that just is – I keep coming back to – I just don't – he does not make a lot of plays on the ball. He plays the man a lot. He actually reminds me a lot of Mike Mitchell from the Steelers, because both kind of have the same style. Like, they play deep enough that they can consistently make the short tackle and catches that enter their zone, but very few plays on the ball. When they are at the catch point, they lower a shoulder rather than compete at the catch point. That's just their style. They're good with their run fills. They tackle pretty well. They both can go outside their frame, longer arms. I think that there's a lot of similarities between the two of them. Mitchell's was a good free safety starter in the league for years, and really helped Pittsburgh. He wasn't a turnover guy. He wasn't a big play explosive guy. Johnson, I think that in Miami, he benefit, like, there were a couple tip balls that went his way for picks this year.
Sure.
But yep. I did not see him show a lot of natural instincts and ball skills on the back end. So would I want him in a single high role because of that? No, but could he play a single high role and be like Mitchell was, just an assignment sound kind of guy? I think he can get there. I do. And he's the captain. He's a leader. He communicates. He's an energy guy. So there's a lot of similarities between me and Mike Mitchell. That was just kind of the comparison. I know I'm not big on comps, but I kept coming back to that. So I'm with you, but I don't see first round type of difference maker. Do you think
most of his plays on the ball either came from, you're right, I think tips. Well, actually, I can't even say that because he had that one-handed interception against Virginia Tech. I think that was just unbelievable.
I actually didn't see that game, so.
I think that was the guy. They were wearing the all-black jerseys. I think it was against Virginia Tech. And they throw it, and it's a bad throw, but Johnson literally had to go, like, arm fully extended, one-handed catch to bring it in. And so, I don't know.
He has athletic ability to make a catch like that, but ball skills, I'm talking about the ability to instinctively read a route combination and attack the ball and high point it, go get it type of thing.
I think that's something worth noting, what his mentality is, because I don't even think that he can't do it. But I think the mentality, to your point, is right with some of these guys, because even some of them can do it, but some might prefer to, like you said, lower the shoulder, make the hit, as opposed to trying to everything that you can to go up and get the as it comes in, maybe get a takeaway. Things like that. That's something that Malik Hooker did all the damn time.
Right.
Yeah, like Malik Hooker, if the ball was in the air, Malik Hooker was going for the ball.
He's the kind of peak version in terms of college football anyway, of like what you're looking for with ball skills because he had those things. The other thing with Johnson is, okay, well, maybe if he's not a great single high difference maker, can you play him in the slot and can he be great in man coverage? And I think he was fine in terms of stickiness in man coverage, but again, did not turn and find the football a couple times, and it really hurt him in the games that I watched. Yeah, he ended up getting victimized and actually got scored on one of the games I watched because he just didn't turn and find the football. Good positioning, but he's trying to play with his back to the ball, and it affected him. So some things he can work on this year. I can't say. We'll talk about our rankings tomorrow's podcast, but I liked what I saw from Jaquan Johnson.
This is true. Now, John, I got to ask you a question before we go on to the next guy.
Fire away.
Are you going to be watching Hall of Fame game?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I clear the schedule because football's back. And yes, by the third quarter, I'll be like, okay, I need real football. But when that kickoff happens, I am glued. I'm ready.
You're going to be more excited than anybody else, right? And the problem is that you're going to be watching it from your couch. And so are Bears fans and Ravens fans. If they went to Vivid Seats, it might have been able to be at the kickoff itself. All right, the season is just going to wait around for these fans, for you guys to sit at home. You can be at these stadiums, cheering for your team, hearing the crowd, getting the experience. Okay, Vivid Seats, if you want to have that kind of experience, Vivid Seats is the way that you could do it. Vivid Seats is offering Locked On listeners 10% off on your first ticket purchase to go to some of these games with the Locked On. That's all one Locked On, pretty easy. And this is for new customers, so if you create an account through them, this is good till the end of August. You can get 10% on any ticket purchase package that you have for any team around the country. Preseason, regular season, all the tickets are available right now, so you could take your home team, look at their home schedule, maybe even their away schedule if you feel like making a couple of road trips, you can be there for all the segment. So go to Vivid Seats, download the app. They got an app too, so you can enter the promo code Locked On either way, 10% off your first ticket order. And there you go. That's your best way to get to see your favorite team in person this season.
Taylor Rapp is a guy getting a lot of love right now. There are a lot of people that are excited to see another. I think part of it is because Washington, amongst other teams, is replacing Florida as DBU.
Man, that was a poor attempt. I'm not even gonna address that.
I left it open for you for a second in case you wanted to address it. But I'm curious what happened last year with the rookies Jalen Tabor, Quincy Wilson. Like, what, you know, I didn't remember hearing much about them, but I guess we'll see.
Tabor had a good coverage rate when he actually played, and Quincy Wilson didn't play because he had a terrible head coach. There you go. What else do you want to know?
Okay, sounds like excuses to me, but we'll just move right along. I think Washington is producing a lot of really good DBs. There's a couple names that are up for debate this year. Myron Murphy, the corner, is another one. JoJo McIntosh is the other safety next to Rapp. There's a couple guys in that secondary that we're probably going to be talking about. Are they on the level of the Sidney Jones, Kevin King, Buda Baker trio? Absolutely not. No question about it. But Taylor Rapp's interesting. The quintessential short area quickness without long speed is how I think I describe his athletic ability. Like bouncing around, explosive feet. He's active. He's physical. He's always engaged.
He's into it.
Yeah, he's nonstop very motor. It. You know he's going to get that grinder label. But I don't know that I see great upside with him. I don't know that I see great range with him. I think he kind of is who he is, and I don't know that he's going to fit every system and every role for a safety. I don't see him as a single high type of guy. I think he can definitely play around the box. I don't see him in man coverage very often, so I need to see some more games maybe. I think I watched two or three, and I think I saw like one or two man coverage reps from him. Didn't seem like they used him in that role a whole lot, but I don't know. I'm not really sure that Taylor Rapp is going to be a top 50 prospect when it's all said and done. Is that fair to say? Is that crazy to say?
Right. No, I think that's fair to say. The games I watched of him were kind of weird because one of them had him playing deep coverage almost most of the game, almost like the free safety. And then the other one, the one where I think he had more impact really, is when he was playing more of a strong role and he was coming up towards the linebackers. I think he's more comfortable in that role. It just seems he's more comfortable in that role. It seems to – he likes to have his eyes in the backfield. He likes to make plays – with physicality, I think, more than coverage. And I think you could just kind of tell that he's more comfortable being a strong safety than a free safety. And maybe that goes into what you were saying towards perhaps a lack of range from him, whether it's long speed or whatever. Because I think that when he plays around like the linebacker level, I think he's got the speed to keep up with people kind of in the box and going to the sideline a little bit there. But you're right, down the field, there were a couple plays where he just had super lapse in judgment, and I think it's because in his mind, I don't think he just blows these assignments just because he misses them. I think in his head he wants to see something that's not there. Like he's hoping the ball goes in front of him so he can like make a big hit in front of him when he's playing like near the linebackers or up closer to the line of scrimmage. And there were a couple like wheel route plays where they'd literally just go right by him, and it wasn't even like a zone assignment and he didn't have the guy behind him. No, he like kind of clearly like had that area, like he should have stuck with him. And he just didn't. So that's what makes me think that he is much more comfortable as a strong safety. And at that point, if he's a little bit limited athletically and he's playing only a strong safety role, he's a nice player. How high am I drafting that guy?
I looked in high school. He ran a 4.74. Well, coming out of high school, what is that? What's the ESPN numbers from? I forget, but whatever they're from. The numbers ESPN's recruiting has up on their ESPN recruiting profile pages. I don't remember what they're for, but anyway, he ran a 4.74. He was 13 pounds lighter then, but I do think with training you get faster. I bet he runs somewhere in the 4.6s at best. I think that's probably a fair estimation for him. I don't think speed's going to be an asset. I think short air quickness is an asset. Physicality's an asset. I wish he was
comfortable in coverage.
Yeah, he's a little stiff. He's a little stiff for sure. Again, I really think around the box, you know. And I'm throwing out comps here tonight. I don't know what's going on, but he reminded me kind of Josh Jones from the Packers. That's who I saw as kind of a similar type of player.
You know, I'm not a comp guy, but
not a comp guy, but things are changing. Maybe I'm starting to see the world through a different lens. But that lens did not really speak that approvingly to me of Taylor Rapp. I think he's fine. He's not going to be like a bust or anything.
You're looking through a kaleidoscope if you think Washington's DBU.
I don't think they're DBU because LSU is DBU, but
no, I agree. Florida.
How are you going? We need to talk about this on Fan Friday. If you're a listener out there, ask us on a Fan Friday question so I remember to debate the DBU options, because Florida's not even like top four, I don't think, anymore. I'm going to pull up the players and I'm going to prove it to you. Maybe they were at one time.
Hey, I think Skip Bayless has lists too, man. It's all right.
That's a comp right there.
All right, Tyreek Hill, what'd you think?
He's not very good. I don't know, man. He's just not very good. Give me a reason. Here's what I want you to do. Give me a reason to get even if you didn't like him, give me a reason to get excited about Tyreek Hill.
Great number choice.
23.
Sleeve on the left arm.
Another reason. You can't.
Tyreek Hill sounds like a safety name.
Okay, it is a good name. He's a good name and a good number. Those are probably the greatest best reasons to get excited.
It's really tough for me to bet against this guy, John.
What's he do really well? Nothing.
Consistently, I think, is the word that you're missing there.
I don't think he's think he's that great of an athlete, and I don't think he's that big. So the size and the speed don't compel me, and he misses too many tackles. He's not that polished of a guy.
He is okay. So here's my thing with remember how I said Rapp looks more comfortable in a strong role closer to line of scrimmage because it allows him to play things that are in front of him. He gets to be more physical. I think Kennel looked more comfortable in coverage, but he wasn't as good in coverage as like Rapp was as a strong safety. Does that make sense? Did that make sense?
Yeah. I think that's fair. I don't think he was particularly good near the box. So, I mean, I think that's probably right, but
that's what I'm saying.
I don't see great range or ball skills with him either though. Like I was even like, all right, let's see this guy's two picks on the year. And they were like, you know, just ducks, man. Like, you know, it just, you're trying to look for those flashes. And I watched him against Ohio State and I just felt like it was Michigan State. I just felt like he didn't make a lot of plays. I didn't feel like he was particularly polished in man coverage. Again, back to the ball, just couldn't find the ball, I thought, a lot of the time. I think he is physical. He wants to be physical. I think that there's enough athleticism there that he could get better at everything else and work his way into like being a top 100 prospect. But like, I'm just not like counting on that happening, I think, is the big thing. Like right now, I didn't see anything that I was like, man, he could, like, if he fixes this thing, he's got this, and this going for him. And to me, I just watched him and I was like, I don't know. Like, don't get me wrong, he could crack the top five safeties because he's definitely draftable. That's basically the only criteria for me right now.
Damn. Anyway.
Dude, I have not really been that impressed with the safety.
Been a rough week for you, huh?
I was high on the edge group. I was high on the D-line group. Like, I was.
Yeah, you're high if you think Florida isn't DBU. I agree.
Oh my gosh, here we go. How many DBs is Florida going to have drafted in the top 100 this year? How many?
It doesn't matter.
You can tell me. You can say the words. When it's zero, I'm coming on this pod.
No, I said, wait, what did you say? I said 100.
How many DBs are gonna go from Florida in the top 100 of the 2019 draft?
Dude, at least 7.
Get out of here! It's ridiculous. You have no defense. You better to spend some time coming up with a defense, because Friday, I'm throwing this down on you, and you're gonna have to defend your school, your institution. But I was not impressed with Tyreek Kittle, basically, is the summary of my thoughts there. And it doesn't sound like you were, although you're trying to play devil's advocate, but I'm not getting a strong impression from you that you liked him.
I mean, he wasn't great. Pretty much for all, it's all the reasons you said. Like I already said, like, yeah. He seems more comfortable in coverage, and yet he's not near the ball. He's not arriving to the ball as quick as he needs to, so you got to think that he doesn't necessarily have the instincts. I don't think he watches a quarterback's eyes the way that he needs to play deep, to get a head start on guys. So technically, I think he's slower in that area, and I think instinct-wise, he's slower in that area. And when you're talking about a guy to play a single high, to play a free safety role, that's a big deal. That's what makes you coveted in the draft. And last year, there just was not a lot of that. And so he's either got to show better recognition this year to start making some plays on some balls that are in the air that aren't just god-awful throws, or he needs to somehow cheat genetics and get hella faster. So it's going to be one of the two, right, if he's going to kind of climb up the board.
There we are in agreement, my friend, on that at least. Not on other things, but on that. Tomorrow we talk about top fives, corners, and safeties. Pray for me as I try and come up with a list of which five safeties I'm going to put into this list, because I'm not feeling strongly compelled about most of them at this point in time. So until then, folks, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.